What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich, brought to you by Aqua Systems and GAF Roofing. And now, here's your host, Rich Horace.
Hey, good Saturday afternoon, everybody. Rich Horace here, and thank you for listening. We've got a great show for you today with our guest, fellow Mosby home consultant Norm Bennett. And you know, Norm has a background in handicap accessibility and is ready to spread his knowledge into every room in your home. I cannot wait to get this started. So what we'll do is we'll get started by getting to know Norm and his background and his position here at Mosby, of course. We'll plan to touch on aging in place, you know, what to think about when you remodel, and how we can help you stay safe in your home for many, many years to come. We can also help you learn what to think about for your next bathroom remodel. There's a lot of steps that go into that. We'll also go on the road with Rich and Norm. You know, let's hear about, you know, what we're thinking during that first visit for any remodel job when it comes to aging in place and staying in your home for quite a while. And then stay tuned with us for all of that and my Ride at Home hack halfway through the show, how you can help your dishwasher dry your dishes better. You're going to want to learn all of that and more. We're going to have a great show today. And for now, I'd like to just get right into it. Introduced fellow Mosby Sales home consultant, Norm Bennett. Hey, Norm, how you doing? And thanks for joining us today.
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Awesome. So, you know, just kind of starting with, you know, your background, everything you've done. Where did you grow up? Were you always in St. Louis?
I grew up in northern Missouri, a little bitty town called Eolia, Missouri, with about 400 people in it. Went to a little school all 12 years. They had a great building trades trade center where I went and spent a couple years there. That was great. That kind of got me started in construction, and went to work for the instructor of that class. So that got me into the carpentry field.
Awesome. Well, he must have really liked you then. That's awesome. So you've done a lot in the industry, you know, with aging in place, kind of ADA stuff, things like that. You have a little bit different role here at Mosby, of course, but that always comes into play when we're looking at projects and jobs. And, you know, you always got to have that kind of in the back of your mind for clients and everything. But let's just start off maybe explaining your role, you know, for our listeners and what you do here at Mosby.
Well, it actually, as a home consultant, you're looking at a lot of different things. When you go in the home, you might start at one end of the house and end up at the other end of the house. But with my background, I'm very interested in the safety of the home and the ability of someone to stay in their home for the rest of their lives. And my background in ADA compliance and handicap and accessibility fits with that very well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So when you're in a home, we really got to think about, you know, most of our clients want to be in their home. They're coming to us because they want things to last. They want lasting value for everything they're getting, and they want to be there for a really long time. So it is definitely a good thing to think about, and something that's always kind of in the back of our minds when we're looking at homes and all of that. So can you just kind of explain a little bit of that background? What did you really do with, you know, ADA and okay, all the handicap accessibility stuff prior to Mosby?
It started very much out of necessity. We started doing work for the Veterans Administration, and they required ADA compliance. So you go into someone's home and attempt to make it ADA compliant, you have a challenge on your hands.
Yeah, that's a job.
That's a room addition a lot of times.
Yeah.
So, and then that morphed into helping just normal people who were like, I want to stay in this home the rest of my life. It's time to remodel that bathroom. So let's do it in a way that we don't have to step over that tub, and we don't have to have, and we can have blocking in the walls for grab bars wherever we want them at some future point in time. So it started over on the very strict VA side, and it morphed over into what works for the homeowner. And that's kind of using both of those technologies and finding that middle ground is what really helps people really enjoy that ability to make it safe, make it functional, but make it beautiful so it doesn't look like you just walked into the hospital bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we run into it all the time too, where we're working for a client and we're trying to figure out what really would suit and work best for them. And when you look at that accessibility space they're talking about, like you were saying, this could be a room addition. I mean, we need so much room. Well, when you need, you know, a 5-foot circle to turn around in a bathroom, you know, that truly might not work for everybody. I literally had a client about a year or so ago that, you know, we were redoing the bathroom to make it more accessible for him and his needs from having a stroke and things like that. And we were looking at trying to move a wall to make this bathroom really wide. And finally, with the plans and the wife and everybody looking at it, and then his physical therapist kind of looking at it, literally said, don't make that bathroom that wide. You can't. He needs to do this and that, and he needs a bar on this wall. And actually, where the wall is worked better for him in his circumstance. And if we'd have widened that bathroom, it would have made it harder for him to do what he needed to do.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's the thing, that it's like trying to design a house for all the masses. You know, I talk about that all the time, where they're like, well, millennials all have dogs. Well, but not everyone's a millennial. So you design every house to only have a dog. What's happening for cat people, or what's happening, you know, so it's a very hard thing to do. So just to be compliant would be extremely difficult.
Absolutely.
You know,
and that's why we start with the individual needs of the homeowner. Because now, if you're just wanting, if it's time to remodel that bathroom and you want to plan ahead, absolutely, there's some things that we can do. We can widen the doors. We can get the tub out of there. We can make it accessible. But sometimes someone has already had an event, like you said. They may have had a surgery, or they may have had a stroke. So we need to assess that person and their needs and build, remodel accordingly. So that's all part of the process.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So let's get on the road here a bit. Let's talk about running around, looking at houses, you know, kind of what we do when we come out for those first visits, because I always like to kind of go over one in this segment that I've done. And I want this one, I think we can be a little bit more general to kind of what me and you do when we're out there. But, you know, I do see a lot of things like that. I literally just had one last week that husband had a stroke. He's, you know, coming home. He's home now. And we're looking at, you know, first they started, well, we're getting a chairlift upstairs, so let's look at this shower upstairs. And, you know, can we turn the tub into a shower where he can get in and out? And with the way things needed to happen and work on the first floor to get to the drains and everything we needed. Then we started looking at the first floor. Well, wow, what if we make the just take the powder room and add a shower to it and make it a full bathroom? And, you know, there's some space in the dining room we can take. And, you know, then I started coming up with the idea, well, for future use, like, say things get worse, you know, think about the future. You know, all of a sudden now you can literally convert this dining room to a bedroom, and now you're steps away from this shower rather than going upstairs. And all, even though you have a chair lift, it still may become very difficult. So, you know, so I'm in the home, I'm going through all this. So for you, you're in a home, but let's just pretend none of that's at stake. They just want to remodel their bathroom, or they want to remodel the master suite, do things like that. So kind of what's your goal? What's the first thing you're looking at, you know, and thinking about as you're walking through the home and looking at some of these projects? What are you trying to achieve?
Well, without having the crystal ball, there are certain things that you can focus on. And in every home, the first step are the steps. So we want to look at every step that that person might have to take.
Yeah.
And we might make one area of the home, one entrance to the home, completely ADA compliant because it's in the garage. I can hide a ramp. I can make it easy for them to get in and out. And maybe the rest of the house is on one floor, or they can function on the one floor. So I start with the steps, start with the entrance, and then work your way in. And we kind of joke about the fact that St. Louis is the home of the 24-inch door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, why would you put a 24-inch door on a bathroom?
Yeah.
But I've seen it, 24, 28. You don't realize until you might have a mobility device and you can't get in your bathroom. You can't get the walker through the bathroom. Now, my brother is handicapped. He doesn't like me to say walker. It's a mobility device.
Oh, yeah.
But still, you're not getting in the bathroom until we widen that door. And then there's so many other things to look at. There's the footprint of the door where you widened it. Is there electrical in the way? Structurally, can you widen that door? There's a lot of things to think about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, in going through this process with a client, you know, kind of walk us through real quick just the steps when you get there. And you kind of talk about the job. What do you do? What do you go through in that first meeting to try and figure out, you know, what some of these needs are and everything? What's kind of the steps of that process for you?
Well, I really want to get to know that individual, and I'd really like to assess what their immediate needs are. A lot of times, this comes in two phases. The first phase is, I can't get in my house. I can't get in and out of my bathroom. I've got to get that. Got to get this done, got to get that done. It might be a ramp, might be a stair lift. The second part of that is the long term. How do we set this up to function for the next 20, 30 years? Let's make it right for that individual. And sometimes we can work with the occupational therapist. I've looked at many, many occupational therapist reports, and sometimes it's the home caregiver that can give us some insight on that. Sometimes it's the wife kind of nudging me and saying, he can't do this. You're going to have to help me on the low here, because he says he can do that. He can't, you know, so there's a lot of factors going on there. And you really just want to get to know the homeowner and what their immediate needs are, what their long-term needs are.
Yeah. And how long do they plan on staying in the home? Always comes a lot into effect of that conversation, because, you know, if they're not going to be there long, then yeah, maybe they're just not concerned with getting into some of that stuff, and they're like, you know, I'm not going to do these extra steps, because there can be cost to them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so if they're not there long, so finding out their plans, their goals, what's in store for the future, you know, literally means so much to this first visit and this, you know,
absolutely,
going through everything. And I can tell you what kind of what you were talking about, you know, when people do have something that happens or goes wrong, or they get in that situation, they always want to believe that they can do things, and they want to try to do things, you know. So the one I had last week, we talked about, you know, these flip down grab bars by the toilet in that powder room where we're adding the shower and everything. And we went through the whole conversation, went through the options, and they were like, nah, I just don't think those will be necessary. You know, we don't need to tear into that part of the bathroom, because that part we're not going to touch. So it would be, we're taking out drywall, putting in blocking, putting it back, patching it up. Then we're adding these grab bars and everything. Well, so she calls me two or three nights later and was like, hey, is it possible to add those back in at some point? I'm like, yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, now I think she's realizing and they're realizing that it probably would really be helpful, and mm-hmm. let's have what we need, because it might not be helpful today or tomorrow, but the day after that, it very well could be. So there's so much to walk through and think about and do, you know, and gather during these initial visits, and sometimes you don't even get it all. That was truly actually the second visit when we were going over things and stuff that came out. So you don't always even get it in that first visit, but you got to explore and get into these things and really start, you know, figuring them out for someone. And I think you're a great, great person to have here to help kind of assist our whole team. We always talk about the deep bench in that team. So help assist our team in working and thinking about these things. So, hey, we're going to get into our first break here. I'm so excited. We got so much more stuff to run through, to go through and do. I'm loving it. We'll be back here with my hack in just a minute, right after these messages.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, here's Rich's right-at-home hack.
All right, we are back, and it is time for my right-at-home hack. And, you know, unfortunately, for a variety of reasons, your dishwasher may wash well, yet leave your dishes a lot wetter than you'd like sometimes. You know, so here's a few handy tips that can help you dry your dishes better in the dishwasher. And the first thing you need to do is to check your dishwasher cycle settings. So if you have a newer dishwasher, sometimes they conserve energy by not defaulting to a heated dry cycle. You may need to get inside your manual to really find out what these cycles are doing in the settings so you know. And some quick wash or express wash settings won't include the heated dry cycle either to conserve time. So that may be your biggest battle right there, is just picking the right setting. Inspecting your rinse aid dispenser. You know, it can gunk up and it can prevent it from working and letting the rinse aid out. So you want to get in there and really look at that and check that and make sure it's not happening. You know, I don't want to get too technical, but dishwasher rinse aid products, you know, they work by reducing the surface tension of the water, causing it to run off the dishes instead of forming water droplets. So you'll have less spots, it runs off easier, and then just makes the dishes dry easier. The next two, you may want to really get with a professional here, but the first thing you want to do is make sure your heating element is actually operational. If your dishwasher has an element at the bottom and you've selected that heated dry setting, you know, your dishes, if they're still wet, it might not be working properly. That element could be on the fritz and you'd need to get that changed out. And there's also a high limit thermostat you want to test, and you can do a test on that to make sure that that's working, because that's a safety device that'll prevent your dishwasher's heating element from getting too hot. And basically what happens, if it malfunctions, it's going to shut down that element too soon before it dries the dishes fully. So that could be your other problem. And you may need a professional to figure that out if you're not as handy, but it's definitely two possibilities of why they're not drying. So I hope this helps everyone. And if you want to hear this hack or any of my weekly hacks, again, you can find them all on my Facebook page every single week. Just simply search Rich Orris Mosby on Facebook. Take you right to me. They're all there every week. And so now, Norm, let's get back into, you know, everything we do, how we do it. Because we were talking about that team, what we call that deep bench. We love, you know, we've got so many different levels of people in the company and such a great mixture, having all the resources on staff. A lot of people come to me and they're, you know, looking for construction advice, things like that. We help train through the company. We do all this. Of course, I'm always defaulting back to all of our designers. Help me with this. What can I do? What would look good here? You know, how can I get somebody through this? And I think it's a great thing that you've got to bring to the team, you know, with your experience and everything too. So can you just kind of touch on what you used to do versus having this deep bench and team and everybody there? You know, how has that differed for you in your career now that you're here at Mosby?
Yeah, it's been night and day. You can relate it to inventing the wheel or reinventing the wheel.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when we would go into a homeowner's home and assess it, there were certain things that I would have to go to outside sources to get help on. Design, if I needed an architect, we had an outside architect we had to use. I kind of had to get in line with him. Now I can walk around the corner and talk to Arthur. You know, it's a great thing. And the design element is something that I had no ability to do, you know. So even though I feel like I'm a pretty stylish guy, I had no idea what would look good on that wall, you know.
Yep.
So it's just the support that you have. And another thing is, you know, they say that it takes doing something 10,000 times to become a master. Mosby has some masters. They've done things 10,000 times. And there's some resources there. And I just love the fact that from the initial call to the final completion walkthrough, there's people involved in that process that are experts, and I defer to them and appreciate them greatly.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And, you know, it is, you know, I'm kind of the same way. I've been here 20 years now. I've been working around our designers for so long that I feel like I can design it until they wow me again. And then I'm like, oh, I came up with this idea for this client and they fell in love with it. And then once we actually started designing it and the designer found something new or a different idea, or then we're all like, oh, wow, that really works. Like, oh my gosh, like they never cease to amaze me. So just, you know, so I must be only on about the 5,000 level of
design. I think so.
Of design.
Probably on design.
Yeah. So thinking about, you know, the handicap accessible, creating a space, you know, the difference in that and creating a space for specific needs for a person, you know, can you just kind of explain the difference there a little bit, and what are they requiring in this handicap, ADA, you know, accessible thing versus, you know, what can we do sometimes for the specific needs of one person?
Well, for example, you know, we may structurally have the same process as an ADA bathroom, but it doesn't have to be a stainless steel grab bar. The towel bar can be structurally a grab bar, technically, structurally.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful towel bar, but if you kind of need to, you know, lose your balance or have a little, have something going on, and you grab a regular towel bar, that's a problem. You know, another thing is the thresholds, the difference in just a half inch or an inch here and there, a place to just kind of, it's a trip hazard. we would really like to get rid of all of those. And the little things like that are a big deal. Lighting. Yeah. People get so comfortable walking around in their own home that they don't realize, well, you know, this is a place where I always have to step over something. I've had people trip and fall because the cat ran through at the wrong time and it was dark in an area of the home that isn't lit well. That's an easy fix. There's a lot of things that are easy fixes. You just kind of got to check the boxes, go down the list.
Yep, yep. And it's amazing, you know, how many stories you hear and stuff where it's literally just a rug.
Yeah.
Like, literally a rug. It's like, how'd the accident happen? Well, it was a foam mat in front of the sink, so they're more comfortable when they stand there, and it's literally 3/4 of an inch thick.
Right.
You know, and you think, wow, that's, you know, so getting a softer floor and maybe avoiding that, you know, that rug
necessity.
Going to a luxury vinyl versus, you know, a hard ceramic tile or something. There's so many options like that that can be specific to people and what those needs are. And of course, you know, ADA compliant is great. It's great for, you know, requirements for public and commercial buildings and, you know, getting people in and out of these spaces, but it just doesn't work for every single residence. You know, in how you get people in and out, and sometimes just in designing like a bathroom or something, yeah, we may end up with a 34-inch door, and that may be wide enough for that person on that device that they need to get into that room. And if it does work, and then the whole thing can come together and we can make it function for them, great, you know.
Yeah.
That's perfectly fine.
That's a good point, because typically, you can't go buy a 34-inch door. We stocked 34-inch doors because 36-inch is ADA compliant. But sometimes, the 36-inch part is so difficult in most situations that we started stocking the left and right hand 34-inch door because we used it so much.
Yeah, absolutely, because it is a perfect alternative that we find, you know, that works all the time for mm-hmm. people. And you just, you know, when you're in that commercial space, well, you got to make it for everyone. You
right.
got to make it where it could try and be good enough for every situation. And that's how you get into it, you know. I did have one some number of years back with a front porch that we did a ramp to. And it was, you know, only about, you know, 16 inches off the ground or something on this concrete. So what we ended up doing was extending the porch over to the driveway, and we put the ramp actually in the concrete against the house, and then the porch was deeper. So everything you saw from the front of the house just looked like a porch about 16 inches off the ground. You couldn't even see the ramp. So we can get into so many design thoughts and ideas like that can really help that person in that home and keep that look, like the grab bars being towel bars and different things. We're constantly, you know, thinking about stuff like that. So, you know, quick here, can you just tell, what would you tell everybody, you know, getting ready to remodel their home? What's some of the main things, what's that list they should think about to help them in the future, you know, when they're just getting ready to do a general remodel?
Well, I would say for the one thing I hear a lot is that, is this going to, if I take out the bathtub, is it going to hurt the resale value of the home?
Oh, yeah.
And I at that point, you know, about as sharp as I can be is don't worry about it. You know, make the home safe for you. Make it work for you. It's your home. I've never had anybody after I finished a beautiful bathroom said, oh, you've run the value of my home because you took the tub out and made this beautiful walk-in shower. It's something that's kind of in the back of your mind, but make it work for you. And that's the important part all the way around. I mean, I've had people absolutely say, no, I am not putting that ramp in the front of my home. You know, and if you have to be ADA compliant, it's a big ramp.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Like you said, there's things we can do. Can we do it in the back of the house? Can we do it in the garage? Do we have to make a new entrance to the home? We can do it, you know. But that kind of thing has got to be really looked at closely. But it's make it work for you. That's the important thing.
Yeah, no, and I totally, you know, get that and with that. And I've had so many conversations with, you know, clients worried about that return on investment. And they're like, oh my gosh. And then I, after I question them more and have depth conversations about what their plans are, and it's like, so if your kids sell this home when you're done with it and they get $10,000 less than they would have, are you okay with that? Like, so why, mm-hmm. why worry about that? It's a wonderful, wonderful point. And we got plenty more points in the final segment coming up for everybody. I just love this type of talk and your knowledge and everything with it. And I want to bring even more into it with the bathrooms and everything else for everybody when we return right after this.
Do you have questions about your home? Call us at 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797.
All right, we are back. Our final segment here today with Mosby consultant Norm Bennett. And I did want to start off just kind of reminding everybody out there two things, you know, about our company. One, if you're looking to have anything done, if any of this strikes a chord where you're kind of like, you know, we really should start thinking about this. I do want to stay in my home longer. Just feel free to have us out. Take a look at what you got. You can call our office at 314-909-1800, or you can go online, callmosby.com. That's callmosby.com. Check out our photos, all the information we have. You can see the designers, the consultants, everybody in the company. You can just, all the information you'd ever need for something like this. And you can just set your appointment right there. So if you need to do it in the middle of the night, you can log in and just get your messages sent and appointments set all right there through our website. And for everybody else, if you're in the industry, if you're looking for a job, if you're not as happy as you thought you are, where you are at the time, and believe me, folks, I lived this. I worked in so many different places until I found a home here at Mosby, and I've been here 20 years now. You will absolutely love it. If you're looking for an efficient, knowledge-based, you know, big team, deep bench, quality craftsmanship, happy clients throughout the board, come on in, just apply. Check us out. We're looking for project managers, architect, carpenters, bathroom installers, plumbers, electricians, designers, and assistant designers. Check us out. If you do anything in the industry, we probably have a great home for you. So I want to get back into this, Norm, with the, let's look at the St. Louis bathroom, right? Because you talked about the 24-inch door. St. Louis is known for some specific things with windows and doors and different things. So the typical 5x8 bathroom, St. Louis has probably got about a billion of them, I'm sure. So, you know, and they're the master bathrooms as well. So, you know, what's needed for a more accessible bath, and what can be done for these smaller bathrooms like that?
Yeah, there's a lot that can be done. Of course, we talked about the tub to shower conversion. That's really necessary, but it's also got to be done correctly. There are shower bases that are still have a 6-inch lip on them. You know, so we can. One thing that really needs to be looked at pretty closely is, does that shower need to be completely barrier free, where the floor just slopes towards the drain?
Yeah,
and sometimes we have to do that. And otherwise, then we're going to do a very, very low profile shower pan. And there are some that will only be 1.5 inches tall. And the alternative is just flush with the floor. Then there's the real simple solutions. You know, while we're doing it, let's put the blocking in for a possible future shower bench, for possible future grab bar locations. One thing that used to be quite expensive and doesn't add much cost at all is to raise that toilet up. We can go up to 20, 22 inches. And sometimes you walk into these old St. Louis bathrooms and that toilet looks like it's about a foot off the floor. You know, we may make the sink a roll under where you can just sit there while you're at the sink. We can change the height of that sink up or down. You know, sometimes we lower them just because it's more comfortable for the person.
Oh, absolutely.
Is the mirror, if you sit down at that sink, is the mirror, you know, a foot higher than your head? You know, those are all things that need to be looked at and standard operating procedure as we're going through our process. But how many times is the homeowner going to remodel that bathroom? You know, once, you know, a lifetime. So it's just it's a good thing to check the list off and make sure it's being done right.
Yeah, and I have used a couple times, the Onyx low profile shower base. Mm-hmm. They can actually make that with just a slight, wheelchair ramp. So it's a very low threshold, and it just kind of ramps up, 4 inches or so, in length, not in height, but, just long. So it's only ramping up about an inch. I mean, it's a little bump to get over, but it can get you in the shower without having to tear that floor apart and slope things and try and get the floor to do that. And they make this really cool little rubber strip that sticks up, and basically the wheelchair can roll right over it, mm-hmm. and it flips back up, and it kind of can help hold your shower curtain
in place,
mm-hmm. place, mm-hmm. while you're in there and everything. Mm-hmm. And, I talk to people all the time because everybody starts with a shower door. And they're like, well, let's do this, but I got to have a door. And I'm like, you're probably going to have a task with water. If you have a very, very low threshold and you have a shower curtain, you can get a good weighted shower curtain, but you're going to get more water out. Mm-hmm. Just have towels ready, stuff like that. But, we were talking about that helper well, think about yourself trying to help this person in the shower. You got this half door in the way, this piece of glass. Mm-hmm. You can only open it up halfway, and the shower door can always be added.
Right.
At a later date.
Yeah. And that ramp you were talking about can be added at a later date. Mm-hmm. It's in the closet or it's in the basement. And at some point in the future, it can be added. And we've even done like a small pony wall. So the healthcare worker can be on the other side of that little pony wall helping you if you need it. But you don't have to have full access or fully open. It's the time to do a custom job that's going to work for you.
Yes, absolutely. And so we talk all the time about this design process we go through and how, all the different steps and stuff. But so what do you think is most beneficial for clients with our design process to help them with something like this?
Oh, it's absolutely the things that you never would have thought of. I say this all the time. We're going to do a lot of things that are going to exceed your expectations or surprise you, but I can't list them all.
Yeah.
It's things that are in our process that we kind of take for granted, and the homeowner might really be surprised. I love it when they are surprised. Oh, you're going to do that? Or I didn't think about that. Of course you didn't. You don't do thousands of bathroom projects, So I just think it makes that checklist, a happy circumstance for the client to go through, because they're able to think of things that they maybe never would have thought of.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can really get into a lot of that stuff with a lot of options, and kind of here's an option this way, here's an option that way, here's what we think would work, what do you think? And mm-hmm. They kind of join that team and get this figured out so it does work the best for them. And it is just a great thing that everybody loves to go through and figure out. It works so well. So I guess my next question would be, when do you think, who should and when should people start thinking about this stuff?
Oh, I get calls all the time where people are like, well, the tile's grout in the tile is getting bad. I don't know how much damage is behind the wall. Yeah, maybe come and look at this and just give me some ideas, because I want to plan for the future. And that's a good, it's good to plan.
Yeah.
We love planners because, it's going to create something, and it might be 6 months, it might be a year down the road, but it takes a little bit of time to think of everything and look at all the options.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you can one thing I've always said, you can never make a plan too early. You can execute it whenever.
Right.
But you can never make a plan too early. It really doesn't matter. So start thinking about the future and the things to come because, yeah, you really, you know, you think about this like, well, I'm doing a shower. I'm 30 years old. Why would I go through all this stuff and have it ready for all this other stuff? I may even remodel the bathroom again. But then you break your leg 2 years later after, and you're trying to get in and out of the shower. And you know, if the backing was there, if the things were there in place, and you needed to throw up a grab bar, even if it was for 6 months, then you could actually do it, and it just works out.
That's true. Yeah.
So much better. So, you know, think about the things that might be, you know, you just never know when an unfortunate thing like that could happen to you, and all of a sudden you need it. So that's why we take all that time to do that and to really get into all of that for everybody. So, hey, we are really just about out of time here. I want to thank you for taking an hour out of your Saturday to help out, educate everybody. It's been wonderful, and I really appreciate it.
So glad to be here.
No, absolutely. So for everybody else out there, man, I hope everything's going well, and I will look forward to talking to everybody next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Turn right up here.
Do you have questions about your home? Call us at 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797.
All right, we are back. Our final segment here today with Mosby consultant Norm Bennett. And I did want to start off just kind of reminding everybody out there two things, you know, about our company. One, if you're looking to have anything done, if any of this strikes a chord where you're kind of like, you know, we really should start thinking about this. I do want to stay in my home longer. Just feel free to have us out. Take a look at what you got. You can call our office at 314-909-1800, or you can go online, callmosby.com. That's callmosby.com. Check out our photos, all the information we have. You can see the designers, the consultants, everybody in the company. You can just, all the information you'd ever need for something like this. And you can just set your appointment right there. So if you need to do it in the middle of the night, you can log in and just get your messages sent and appointments set all right there through our website. And for everybody else, if you're in the industry, if you're looking for a job, if you're not as happy as you thought you are, where you are at the time, and believe me, folks, I lived this. I worked at so many different places until I found a home here at Mosby, and I've been here 20 years now. You will absolutely love it. If you're looking for an efficient, knowledge-based, you know, big team, deep bench, quality craftsmanship, happy clients throughout the board, come on in, just apply. Check us out. We're looking for project managers, architect, carpenters, bathroom installers, plumbers, electricians, designers, and assistant designers. Check us out. If you do anything in the industry, we probably have a great home for you. So I want to get back into this, Norm. Let's look at the St. Louis bathroom, right? Because you talked about the 24-inch door. St. Louis is known for some specific things with windows and doors and different things. So the typical 5x8 bathroom, St. Louis has probably got about a billion of them, I'm sure. So, you know, and they're the master bathrooms as well. So, you know, what's needed for a more accessible bath, and what can be done for these smaller bathrooms like that?
Yeah, there's a lot that can be done. Of course, we talked about the tub to shower conversion. That's really necessary, but it's also got to be done correctly. There are shower bases that are still have a 6-inch lip on them. You know, so we can. One thing that really needs to be looked at pretty closely is: does that shower need to be completely barrier free, where the floor just slopes towards the drain?
Yeah,
and sometimes we have to do that. And otherwise, then we're going to do a very, very low profile shower pan. And there are some that will only be an inch and a half tall. And the alternative is just flush with the floor. Then there's the real simple solutions. You know, while we're doing it, let's put the blocking in for a possible future shower bench, for possible future grab bar locations. One thing that used to be quite expensive and doesn't add much cost at all is to raise that toilet up. We can go up to 20, 22 inches. And sometimes you walk into these old St. Louis bathrooms and that toilet looks like it's about a foot off the floor. You know, we may make the sink a roll under where you can just sit there while you're at the sink. We can change the height of that sink up or down. You know, sometimes we lower them just because it's more comfortable for the person.
Oh, absolutely.
Is the mirror, if you sit down at that sink, is the mirror, you know, a foot higher than your head? You know, those are all things that need to be looked at and kind of standard operating procedure as we're going through our process. But how many times is the homeowner going to remodel that bathroom? You know, once, you know, in a lifetime. So it's just it's a good thing to check the list off and make sure it's being done right.
Yeah, and I have used a couple times, you know, the Onyx low-profile shower base. Mm-hmm. They can actually make that with just a slight, you know, wheelchair ramp. So it's a very low threshold, and it just kind of ramps up, you know, 4 inches or so, you know, in length, not in height, but, you know, just long. So it's only ramping up about an inch. I mean, it's a little bump to get over, but it can get you in the shower without having to tear that floor apart and slope things and try and get the floor to do that. And they make this really cool little rubber strip that sticks up, and basically the wheelchair can roll right over it, and it flips back up, and it kind of can help hold your shower curtain
in place,
you know, in place while you're in there and everything. And you know, I talk to people all the time because everybody starts with a shower door, and they're like, "Well, let's do this, but I got to have a door." And I'm like, you know, you're probably going to have a task with water. If you have a very, very low threshold and you have a shower curtain, you can get a good weighted shower curtain, but you're going to get more water out. You know, just have towels ready, stuff like that. But, you know, we were talking about that helper and the well, think about yourself trying to help this person in the shower. You got this half door in the way, this piece of glass. You can only open it up halfway, and you know, and the shower door can always be added,
right?
You know, at a later date.
Yeah, and that ramp you were talking about can be added at a later date. It's in the closet or it's in the basement, and at some point in the future, it can be added. And we've even done like a small pony wall, so the healthcare worker can be on the other side of that little pony wall helping you if you need it, but you don't have to have full access or fully open. It's the time to do a custom job that's going to work for you.
Yes, absolutely. And so we talk all the time about this design process we go through and how, you know, all the different steps and stuff. But so what do you think is most beneficial for clients with our design process to help them with something like this?
Oh, it's absolutely the things that you never would have thought of. You know, I say this all the time. We're going to do a lot of things that are going to exceed your expectations or surprise you, but I can't list them all.
Yeah, yeah.
It's things that are in our process that we kind of take for granted, and the homeowner might really be surprised. I love it when they are surprised. Oh, you're going to do that? Or I didn't think about that. Of course you didn't. You don't do thousands of bathroom projects, you know. So I just think it makes that checklist, it makes that checklist a happy circumstance for the client to go through, because they're able to think of things that they maybe never would have thought of.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can really get into a lot of that stuff with a lot of options and kind of here's an option this way, here's an option that way, here's what we think would work, what do you think? And, you know, they kind of join that team and get this figured out so it does work the best for them. And it is such a, just a great thing that everybody loves to go through and figure out. It works so well. So I guess my next question would be, when do you think, you know, who should and when should people start thinking about this stuff?
Oh, I get calls all the time where people are like, well, you know, the tiles, grout in the tile is getting bad. You know, I don't know what's how much damage is behind the wall. Yeah, maybe come and look at this and just give me some ideas because I want to plan for the future. And that's a good, I mean, it's good to plan.
Yeah.
We love planners because, you know, it's going to create something, and it might be 6 months, it might be a year down the road, but it takes a little bit of time to think of everything and look at all the options.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, you can, one thing I've always said, you can never make a plan too early. You can execute it whenever.
Right.
But you can never make a plan too early. It really doesn't matter. So start thinking about the future and the things to come because, yeah, you really, you know, you think about this like, well, I'm doing a shower. I'm 30 years old. Why would I go through all this stuff and have it ready for all this other stuff? I may even remodel the bathroom again. But then you break your leg 2 years later after, and you're trying to get in and out of the shower. And you know, if the backing was there, if the things were there in place and you needed to throw up a grab bar, even if it was for 6 months, then you could actually do it, and it just works out.
That's true. Yeah,
so much better. So, you know, think about the things that might be. You know, you just never know when an unfortunate thing like that could happen to you, and all of a sudden, you need it. So that's why we take all that time to do that and to really get into all of that for everybody. So, hey, we are really just about out of time here. I want to thank you for taking an hour out of your Saturday to help out, educate everybody. It's been wonderful, and I really appreciate it.
So glad to be here.
No, absolutely. So for everybody else out there, man, I hope everything's going well, and I will look forward to talking to everybody next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.